3-1.
If Harvick's able to clear the one of Jamie McMurray and a caution comes out, he'll be back on the lead lap.
Join us as we break down the latest news stories and race events from the three biggest divisions in motorsports.
Into the wall, then into the two. The two goes around. The caution's going to come out.
The Gander Outdoor Truck Series, Xfinity Series, and the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series. Will Joey Logano repeat?
A drag race, they're sideways, and it's going to be Logano getting the win.
Or will someone else take claim on being the next champion? It's time for the 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3. And now, here's your host, Eddie Greer III.
Y'all know what time it is. The 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast is back on the airways, coming at you from Manhattan, Kansas. Rainy Manhattan, Kansas, once again for the second week in a row. EG3, Eddie Greer III, host of the 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast. We're all about the latest in the world of NASCAR. For those of you who are tuning in for the very first time, we talk about the Gander Outdoor Truck Series, the Xfinity Series, and the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series, the three biggest divisions in all of motorsports, and all three of them coming off the Monster Mile. And of course, y'all know what it is. It is the reaction edition of the podcast, breaking down Dover, and my excitement level is through the roof on a couple occasions. And I'll give you a spoiler alert here in a moment, but obviously it is Kansas week, Friday, Saturday. We will preview that towards the end of tonight's episode. And Martin Truex Jr. gets it done yet again at the Monster Mile on a Monday. Of course, the cut race was rained out on Sunday. Turned the page over on Monday. Obviously, had to go to work, so could not watch the race. But lucky for me, I'm on the road majority of the time for work anyways, interacting with clients, as I said multiple times on this podcast. So I was able to catch majority of it. I did not catch the end. I did not listen to the end, obviously, because I was interacting with a client. And Martin Truex Jr., MTJ, yeah, baby, gets it done. Number 2 in 19. How about that? And can you say momentum for Truex going into probably one of his better racetracks? And, of course, I'll get into all that in the second half of the segment. But I'm gonna switch things up a little bit here tonight on the 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast. Obviously, I usually go in order, but tonight I'm gonna go out of order a little bit. We're gonna start off with the Gander Outdoor Truck Series race from last Friday, and there's been a lot of chatter about Kyle Busch. We will get to that momentarily. But how about that truck series race? Big D. Big D here in the house. Also in the EG3 garage area here in MHK. Wow, that was that was some fun action out there on the track. Trucks going 3-wide and all over the place. At the end of the day, though, it is statement time for one Johnny Sauter. Gets it done over his former team, making a huge statement on his former team that released him, GMS Racing, who signed Brett Moffitt coming off of his championship run a year ago for Hattori Racing. Johnny Sauter was let go from GMS Racing. Moffitt signed with the team, and then Sauter basically went back home to his former team from back in the day, Thor Sport Motorsport. And Johnny Sauter, all the excitement, you can hear it clearly in his voice after he took the checkered flag first in the race there. I'll get a title here in a moment right now, but Johnny Sauter, huge win, not only for himself, but that whole organization, that really all four of those trucks, I believe, finished in the top 10. We're getting our screen pulled up here. And yes, they indeed. Yep. I was looking for Matt Crafton there, who finished in the top 5. Matt Crafton, who had an up and down day, found himself in the top 10 at the end of this race. The JEGS 200 belonged to Johnny Sauter in this one. Brett Moffitt had to settle for the second position in this one. And oh, by the way, Moffitt was the pole winner in this race. The two trucks were pretty much the fast trucks of the field, but one truck that was really impressive was Sheldon Creed up there battling these guys, winning stage two. And then, unfortunately for him, one of the last race starts of the afternoon, Harrison Burton getting Creed loose, going to turn two. Creed pounding the wall hard. Miles, the monster, gobbled Creed up. He was done, unfortunately, for the afternoon. And Johnny Sauter, in a less than 10-lap shootout, outdoes Moffitt for a huge victory, not only for himself once again, but for Thor Sport, who continues to really be impressive here in 2019. Your top 10 here from the Jigs 200 looks like this. Ross Chastain, there's a streak on him during a race from FS1. They were talking about it. Vince Welch and the boys were talking about it. This 45 truck, which we've seen Chastain, I believe, in all these races, finish up there in the top 10, and he had a monstrous save toward the end of this one. And Chastain, he should have wrecked. Anybody else was in that truck, they would have wrecked that truck into the wall. But Ross Chastain, this just goes back really to last year in the thrilling run that he had. Obviously, the unfortunate news going into this year, not having that 42 Xfinity ride, and kind of leaves you to what if, you know, if everything played out itself out in a perfect world, probably so. But, you know, in this day and age now, things do not go to plan. And Ross Chastain, you know, unfortunately lost out on that ride. And here he is, dibble-dabbling in all three series. And he's put that 45 truck, the top 10 streak alive for that 45 truck. Well, not for him, actually. I'm going to put it like this, actually. Ross Chastain has finished in the top 10 in all those races. And I believe he's on the have not seen the entry list for the trucks going into Kansas, the Digital Ally 250 on Friday night. We will be there. And Friday is a game time decision there on that front. Unfortunately, I can get into that all later. But Chastain, again, finishes in the top 10 once again in this race. Tyler Ingram, he had some contact late in this race, and he rallied back for a ninth place finish. So this is back-to-back top 10s for that 17 truck, and an attaboy to Derek Krause in the 19 truck, finishing the 8th spot. Austin Hill finished 7th. Ben Rhodes, part of that gigantic 4-truck tandem with Thor Sport. That 99, I think he's been probably, you know, all the attention for Johnny Sauter and Grant Anfinger, but I think Ben Rhodes, I pretty much put him to the back burner a little bit. I sometimes forget he races in this series still a little bit. He's won a few races in the Gain Outdoor Truck Series, and yet again try to play that strategy game late. And he fell back, but managed to stay up there in the 6th spot. Matt Crafton, I mentioned, finished in the 5th spot, top 5. Grant Anfinger, another solid afternoon for that 98 truck, 4th. And how about the job of Harrison Burton, who started 9th and ended up in the 3rd spot there. I mentioned he and Sheldon Creed there toward the end of this race there, which unfortunately put Sheldon Creed had a fast number 2 truck for GMS. And he got Creed loose. And unfortunately for Creed, he could not save that truck in time. Banged it into the wall. Ended his day. Burton, though, was a top 3 finish. And we already covered Brett Moffitt and Johnny Sauter, top 2. Some notables down here. Stuart Friesen finished 12th spot. And how about a call out to Raphael Lessard, who started in the top 10 in this race, finished 11th in this race right here. Ryan Sieg, bouncing in from the Xfinity Series, came home in the 16th spot. Natalie Decker, EG3 alum, we will see her depending on if I can get it out there for the Friday night race or not. Natalie Decker came home in the 17th spot. right there. And speaking of, where did Sheldon Creed, you guys asked, finished? Stage 2 winner, led 59 laps, and ended up in a disappointing 27th place. Let's check the standings here. Your top 5 heading into Friday Night Showdown in Kansas. And we got a new points leader here in the 98 truck, Infinger, by 4 over Johnny Sauter. Stuart Friesen dropped from 1st to 3rd. Brett Moffitt is now 4th. Bryn Rhodes is now 5th. And the top 5 is separated only by 23 points heading in to Friday night's race in Kansas City. Oh, I cannot wait to get out there and watch this race live. So, it's going to be a show. No Kyle Busch. So I'm excited about that. I got to worry about seeing him up front, even though last year race, I know we're crisscrossing a little bit, Big D. Folks, last year, Noah Gregson took the field to the whip last year. And there's no Noah Gregson, obviously. Gregson in the Xfinity Series now. Kyle Busch's final truck race is saved for the end of the month at Charlotte. I mentioned that a couple of times here over the past couple of weeks here on the Throughout NASCAR podcast, EG3. Thanks for tuning in to the podcast on an exciting week, not only for us, but here as Kansas, the Bull Truck guys and the Cup guys are in action. The Xfinity guys taking a couple weeks off. They'll be back on track, like I just mentioned, Charlotte, at the end of the month. But yeah, this was an exciting race, though. And for me, to see it, basically most of this race on FS1, I'll put the truck race right up there. This was probably one of the more favorite races in general to this point, just because of the 3-wide battle we saw for the race lead, which included Sheldon Creed in that mix right there. So this was a fun race to watch, and it ended with a showdown with two veterans, two champions of the Gainer Outdoor Truck Series, Johnny Sauter and Brett Moffitt, doing battle, and Sauter getting the best of Moffitt on last Friday up in Dover, Delaware. Now we're gonna switch gears now a little bit. I already spoiled who won the Cup race yesterday in Martin Truex Jr., who won that, who took stage 3 and whooped up on the field there after he won stage number 2. That was a fun battle in itself. He, Bowman, Harvick, and Chase Elliott were in that mix as well. That was fun to hear the action on MRN. Shout out to MRN on their coverage yesterday of the Gainer RV 400. So it came back to me right there at the last minute. So yeah, that was great to listen their coverage of the race yesterday. But this has been all over the feed, my Twitter feed here, and this involves Kyle Busch. Yes, Kyle Busch, folks, once again, on the wrong side of things. And every time it seems like Kyle Busch's mouth opens up, he says things that aren't his mind. We all know this by now. For those of you who are not familiar with Kyle Busch is all about winning. We all know that. Fans of the sport, I know that. Big Dean even knows that. Everybody else knows that, okay? And Kyle Busch spouted out after his... uncharacteristically was, in my opinion, not really a factor. Yeah, he got extended his top 10 streak barely for the second consecutive week. Another 10th place finish for him in this instance. But were you... I gotta tell you, man, I've called him out on this podcast, and again, his mouth let loose, and not only that, a surprise player came up in the mix yesterday, also after this race over, but, you know, for what it is, a lot of people put I'd probably say 80% of the NASCAR nation put their status in this new package, put too much high hopes in this package. Obviously was not one of those. I wanted to wait and see how this would play out. Yes, I had those thoughts like everybody else. Could this be more exciting for the fans with the leaders and everything else? And people have their own opinions. We all know that. We can't control everybody else's saying, but Kyle Busch here, if Big D can scroll down, we got Dustin Albedo, a.k.a. EG3 alum, who we had on the show last year down here. Of course, we're looking for right now. He was... Big D's looking for it. But yeah, he spouted out on the mouth yet again in this case yesterday. But okay, here we go. We got it now. So Dustin Albedo, I think, talked to Kyle Busch yesterday. It's on his timeline here, and we got it pulled up right now. And for the listeners out here, I'm going to keep it PG-13 for the time being right now. Kyle Busch right here, after his top 10 lash yesterday. All right, quote, "The package sucks. No bleeping question about it. It's terrible. All I can do is bleep about it and fall on deaf ears and will come back with the same thing. It in the fall from Kyle Busch from yesterday's ear." And yes, people, we know that everybody can't stay tame, quiet, and relaxed, right? We gotta have that one bad apple, or you can say that one that spouts out in the mouth and really starts up something with the fans and whatnot. All right, and this seems to happen when you get two cars that dominate the race. Is there a theme I'm catching on Big D? Because it seems like I'm catching a theme with this, because every time somebody dominates, we get crying from a driver. We can't have every finish like a Kyle Larson, Kyle Busch last year at Chicago Lane. I wish we could see that last year. Rewind. Okay, so we can't all have that. We can't all go to a race and see that classic finish that Kyle Larson and even Kyle Busch put on at Chicago Lane last year. And not every race plays itself out that way. And if you've been a fan of sport long enough, you guys know that. For those of you who are new to the sport, well, you can find out real quickly. I mean, Brad Keselowski put it on him at Martinsville over 400 laps, letting that one. Okay, that was a stink fest right there. I shouldn't say stink fest, but maybe because one car dominated and Chase Elliott led a couple laps there. But other than that, Brad Keselowski was the star of the show at Martinsville, right? Here, and it's instance right here, Chase Elliott dominated early and faded late. Martin Truex Jr. comes up stage two, takes it away from Alex Bowman, and then from right there, Martin Truex Jr. said, "Adios, I ain't giving this one up, boys." He runs off away with another victory at the Monster Mile. And Kyle, here you get Kyle Busch making all kind of records here, keeping a top 10 streak alive that he's now set, passing Morgan Shepherd. And now, he wins, he's happy, you know he's going to be happy, but he's going to find something to complain about. And I do not have the time to go down this rabbit hole, but all I got to say is, everybody's talking about it. And everybody, and not only just Kyle Busch, even Bob Levine, the owner of Levine Family Racing, has something to say about it yesterday. You ain't won no races, so... I don't know what you guys say about it, but I'm not touching that. I'm like, where did this come from? This came out of left field. Bob Levine has something to say about it, and Jeff Gluck tweeted earlier today when I checked the feed between clients that there will be no fines made with Kyle Busch and Bob Levine for the package yesterday. I mean, why would we fine them anyway? I mean, they're just speaking their mind. I mean, I'm just here talking about it to you guys about it tonight. Why would you find something about that? It's just stating your own opinion. Even I know that. That's just stupid for NASCAR to even go that length to find one of the more polarizing voices on NASCAR, Kyle Busch. And then this Bob Levine, that came out of right field. I mean, you got Toyota. You're back with Toyota. And Matt Benedetto had a solid run yesterday. He finished in the top 20. So now we'll get to the full field rundown here in just a bit. Thank you for tuning in to the 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast. EG3 in the building, talking Dover, going 3-Wide with all three series, and talking about these comments that Kyle Busch spouted out of frustration. Yeah, that 18 yesterday, or really, pretty much really all weekend, was not the 18 we seen there. Miles the Monster got him yesterday, even though Kyle Busch barely gets in the top 10 there once again. So, but yeah, I mean, a lot of people put a lot of high, even some media members, not going to call people out, not yet, but as far as I listen to anyways in these podcasts, put a lot of stock, high hopes in the package. Oh, we're going to get exciting racing and whatnot, or we're going to see leaders battle back and forth for the lead, trying to get package like pretty much like the trucks. That was their goal anyways, and a lot of complaining about that. And people are going to complain. That's just what it is. And I can't control it. You guys can't control it. Big D can't control it. Nobody can control it, okay? But to put it this way, to put it pretty much bluntly, you know, Kyle Busch, you know, take your 10th place and just go to Kansas, baby. You don't need to spout out about the package every week. Every time you don't win, I don't need to hear, yes, you know, people want to hear that side of him because Kyle Busch is going to have something to say and all this other stuff. But for me, in my opinion, you know, I don't need to hear you complain about a packet about every time you don't go up front and win, something happens. You know, this is the pattern. This is the Kyle Busch that we're going to get. You know, he wins. Oh, yeah, he's going to be 100% all it be about it, you know? You know what I'm saying? But when he loses or wrecks out or struggles with handling a race car like he did yesterday, he was not much of a factor, in my opinion. If somehow gets the top 10 out of the deal, I mean, Big D, I'm like, oh goodness, what he's gonna say now? And I just laughed when I read this tweet up in the air. And Kyle Busch, you gotta take your top 10. A lot of people in your position would love to finish in the top 10. A Daniel Suarez or a Matty Benedetto or something like that. Ricky Stenhouse Jr. wrecking out for the second consecutive week. A lot of people would love to be in your shoes, driver JGR, and have fast race cars every week and have opportunities to win every week. And as such, even me, I'd love to have the opportunity to drive like a Hall of Famer, Joe Gibbs, and put that 18 in victory lane. Even I want to do that. But I don't need to hear every time you don't win or something goes bad, like, oh, I don't need you here, okay? But it's out of my control. If I like it or not, Kyle Busch is going to spot out anything what comes to his mind. And that's what he spotted out yesterday about the package. I mean, this is not racing, all this other stuff. It is what it is. Another episode of the Kyle Busch Sour Pouch Patch Show. And that's what it is. So, you move on, take it, move on. You finish in the top 10. I mean, a lot of people love to be in your shoes right now. You got 3 wins. What you complaining about, son? I have no idea what you're complaining about. You've been the talk of the town here in 19 so far. And I just know what his deal is here. And then Bob Levine here, or at it, talking about some, well, he was asked by somebody yesterday, and he said, Bob Levine from Dustin, again, we're looking at Dustin Albino, who's on this podcast last year, from Bob Levine. Let me second Kyle Busch's statement. This package sucks. Has nothing to do with where he finished. Seriously? Come on, man. Come on, Bob Levine. Seriously? This is in the come on, man side section of the Through Our NASCAR podcast. Are you serious right now? I could go different ways with this one right here. I mean, Bob Levine. I mean, yeah, this is what I'm talking about. Out of left field, says, agrees with Kyle Busch, this package sucks. Well, you know, these are the cars that you're hanging out with at the beginning of the year. And, I mean, we've seen some great racing here and there. Even I didn't a couple weeks ago, did not give this I sort of gave it a high grade, but I gave it a solid B. And we needed to see a few more, okay? And I was going to evaluate even more at the end of the month after Charlotte to give a real good basis on where this is going to go. But Bob Levine even spotted out. So, we got him. So, sorry guys. So, but anyways, Bob Levine, he goes off and says that. So, I don't know what to say about that other than, you know, Bob Levine, you got Toyota on your belt. And, yes, DiBenedetto finished in the top 20 yesterday, but I don't know. Yeah, that really surprised me a little bit. See, Bob Levine up in that, in those comments. So, from where you're running, I mean, you have an alliance with Joe Gibbs Racing, and you're putting up top. I mean, that was a good run, actually. And even at Bristol, we know Matty D is good at Bristol, or is more competitive at Bristol. So, we're going to get soft finishes from that 95 camp. But on the flip side, they've been off their game early on, and I'm interested to see how that's going to reflect, that those comments reflect going into the rest of the year. And Bob Levine, you need to focus, before you even say anything else, you need to focus on having that consignment. I'll give you the top 20 finish yesterday, but you guys need to focus on being more consistent and getting that first win instead of complaining about the package and all that. This is just too much complaining going on, and this is kind of overshadowed. I know, yes, Truex won again. This kind of overshadows a little bit what we saw racing-wise in Stage 2 yesterday with Bowman out front. He was the bigger story coming out of that. It really, in all else, this overshadows Alex Bowman's performance yesterday. He's gaining confidence as we go along here, and I'm not going to be surprised we see him in the mix in Kansas Saturday night. And this kind of goes back to a couple years ago. He was not feeling well, and we saw this guy up in the front, or not in the front, up in 6th, 7th place in the playoff race a few years ago, and he put it down. So Bowman, this team right now, and he finished second to Chase Elliott a couple weeks ago at Talladega. And he backs it up with another. This is a statement right here by Bowman in an 88 Camaro. For more sports, obviously he led the Hendrick Brigade early on. It was Chase Elliott, but Alex Bowman really starting to show that muscle in an 88. And I think he's starting to come to his own little bit right here. I wouldn't be surprised to see him up there, and he's part of those. That before we hopped onto the podcast tonight, he's up there. I wouldn't say up there, but he's part of the conversation as far as odds go for this weekend in Kansas City. But to finish up on Bob Levine before we turn over, we talked enough about it. But I don't know what you're complaining about. You're not the one driving these cars, so I don't know where the hell that came from. So, if you're driving, that's one thing. But another thing, if you're not in that race car, you shouldn't be talking about it at all. That's just my two cents about it. So, Bob Levine, you need to keep your mouth shut, focus on that race team, and be getting more consistent top 20 finishes, and eventually trying to get up there with your Joe Gibbs Racing teammates through our NASCAR podcast rolls along here. Yesterday's race, the Cup race, due to rain on Sunday, got moved to yesterday. And we're going to talk about Truex a little bit, Bowman. And you know the preview show we talked about? I talked about a little about Kyle Larson needing a good finish, a turning point. Well, this could be the start of it. Finished in the third spot in this one. And he, once again, was the talk of the garage area. Once again, from over the weekend, fast race car, fast 10-lap average, fast long run speed. What not, Larson? Finally, for the most important part for him, solid top five run, and now you go to a place where he led a lot of laps last year, and did not close the deal thanks to Ryan Blaney. That episode with Ryan Blaney last year. So it'll be interesting to see this 42 team here. Can they pick up steam here? We saw his team finish third. In the fall, we saw him last year lead a lot of laps, but couldn't close the deal, and really actually got lost in that thrilling finish with Harvick and Truex. Kyle Larson roared all the way back into the top five, but fell short there, so Larson kind of blew the opportunity to win the race last year. Then Larson in the fall, last fall, tried to put the move on Kyle Busch, came up short. He finished third there, so again, I keep saying it. Is this the turning point? Well, we'll find out for sure on Saturday night down here. And again, kind of going off the JGR Brigade here, Truex, again, strong performance from the 19. And not only that, you throw in Eric Jones in the mix. They were the 20. And then Kyle Busch finished 10th and then somehow wants to complain about the package. And then you flip over to the tail side, Denny Hamlin. Denny Hamlin, something was wrong early with that race car, that FedEx Toyota. Had to come down pit road and finally got back on the lead lap and then tacked the wall and then had some dehydration issues yesterday. So Miles the Monster won that battle there. Again, it's Denny Hamlin. This place has not been kind to Denny Hamlin at all. So the two-time winner this year had his struggles yesterday. Stenhouse, as I mentioned, hit the wall his day. And then pretty early, that will transition us to the full field run. Now we have the top 10 here in the second half of the program. BJ McCloy, 37th. Quinn Huff, 36th. Reed Sorensen, 35th. Cody Ware, 34th. Ricky Stenhouse Jr., 33rd in this one from yesterday. Matt Tiff, one of those cars that had to start from the back, 32nd. I failed to mention that here 30 minutes into the podcast. Lennon Castle, 31st. Ross Chastain, 30th. Cole LaJoy, 29th. Ryan Preece from a top 5 to a 28th place. The next week, Bubba Wallace, 27th. David Rankin, 26th. David Daniel Hemric, 25th. And this one, Michael McDowell, 24th. Chris Buescher, 23rd. Ty Dillon to finish 22nd. Denny Hamlin, all his problems, finished 21st yesterday. Matty Benedetto finished 20th. Austin Dillon, 19th. Ryan Newman, back-to-back top 10, ends in an 18th finish yesterday at Dover. Paul Menard, 17th. Eric Almirola, 16th. Ryan Blaney, who we saw in the booth in the Xfinity Series over the weekend, 15th. Jimmy Johnson, 14th. Kurt Busch, 13th. Brad Keselowski, who was up front early, led 58 laps and faded in the second half of this race, finished in a 12th position. And Daniel Suarez, who tried to make something happen at the end of the race there, trying to stay out late there, did not get the caution. He was the last car on the lead lap there in 11th spot. You're listening to 3Wide NASCAR Podcast, EG3 Big D here as well in the EG3 garage area in wet Manhattan, Kansas here. We are getting ready, so pumped up for Kansas this weekend. Going to Kansas City on Friday, depending on what time I get off work there. And I'll be definitely, if I get up, well, again, I'll explain later. But going back to Matt Tiff, who finished deep in the field. He was one of four cars that had to start in the back of the field due to pre-tech issues. And he had to do a pass-through because he, in that race team, failed it 3 times. Others who failed it, Ryan Preece at 47. And your top two finishers, Bowman and Truex, also had to start rear of the field. So again, Mark Truex Jr., for whatever reason, always starts in the rear of the field at Dover, and it makes hay. And again, he makes bigger hay and then wrestled the stage two win away from Bowman there and powers his way to win number two of the season. Yes, sir. So pumped up to get out there this weekend and to a place, again, like I said at the top of the podcast, he's really good at this racetrack. And this is going to be his first time in a Joe Gibbs Racing Toyota, so that's going to be a storyline to follow, along with Bowman and Kyle Larson and Kevin Harvick, yet to reach victory lane, your defending winner of this race from a year ago. Let's do some social media real quick before we go into our intermission break. Yes, sir. You follow me at EG3_FastA on Twitter. Again, at EG3_FastA. You can follow me there. And, of course, you can find a 3Wide NASCAR podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We're talking about Apple Podcasts, Audioboom, Spotify, iTunes. Tell your friends about us. Leave us a 5-star rating there. Get the word out. 3Wide NASCAR podcast in the Midwest is hopping up here in Manhattan, Kansas. And you can find us on other platforms as well. You can find a 3Y NASCAR podcast wherever podcasts are heard. Y'all know what it is. Time for our intermission break right here on the 3Y NASCAR podcast. We'll get to the top 10 finishers. We already talked about three of them already in the Xfinity Series. The Dash for Cash finale, Christopher Bell, take home more money. You're listening to 3Y NASCAR podcast. We're coming back after this intermission timeout.
This is a quick pit stop. The 3Y NASCAR podcast with EG3 will be right back after a word from our sponsors.
The 3Y NASCAR podcast is back on the racetrack. Eddie Gritter III, EG3 in the building. Coming at you from Manhattan, Kansas. Getting Outdoor Truck Series, Xfinity Series, Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series. Coming off of Dover Triple Header Weekend. This is the reaction edition of the podcast. The Allied Steel Buildings 200 from the Xfinity Series saw Christopher Bell cap the Dash for Cash races with the victory. In the fourth quarter, Christopher Bell won the first race and he won the last race of the Dash for Cash. And funny enough, the Xfinity broadcast talked about there is a big three in the Xfinity series, but Cole Custer had the dominant car in this one, leading some 155 laps in this one, but he leaves Dover frustrated. Christopher Bell leaves with the money in tow. Right there, your top 10 finishers. Bell, your winner there. Justin Allgaier, come home in second. I was really concerned. Not only because he was my lap traffic fantasy pick. He attacked the wall hard. I thought he was done for, but somehow managed a second place finish. Tyler Reddick, wild man, finished third. Oh, by the way, we're going to be seeing him this weekend in Kansas. He's doing the cup race on Saturday night. Cole Custer, fourth. Chase Briscoe, another. Fifth place finish for him. Austin Cindric is sixth. Brandon Jones coming home in the seventh spot. You rush your top 10. John Hunter Nemechek there in the eighth position. Followed by Zane Smith. Another impressive run for a driver who is not familiar with a racetrack such as the Monster Mile. He did a great job. He and Nemechek had some little hand gestures afterwards. The two of them made contact coming to the line to end the race there. Michael Annette, another top 10 for that one car right there. But yeah, I mentioned just a while ago, there's a big three in the Xfinity Series. Christopher Bell, Tyler Reddick, and Cole Custer. Now, in that mix, yeah, your six-time winner from a year ago, Justin Allgaier. I wouldn't push him to the curb just yet, but hey, the stats don't lie. Three big three is alive and well. They have won the last four races, which were Dash for Cash races, ladies and gentlemen. Bell winning at Bristol. You turn around, Cole Custer at Richmond. Tyler Reddick winning at Talladega. And Christopher Bell wrestling the lead away from Cole Custer and company, and he ran away from it to seal another victory in the Xfinity Series for Christopher Bell. And I don't need to tell you, there's been a lot of talk surrounding C Bell and a cup opportunities there. Not going to touch that, but right now, Christopher Bell last year made the championship for last year and did not perform very well, excuse me, in this year, and whatever lies ahead, future-wise, next year, I don't know. But I do know this, Christian Bell has another opportunity, or could have another opportunity, to be part of that four again at Homestead at season end. We'll just have to see where that ends. The Xfinity boys are off for a few weeks. We will next time see them in Charlotte. We take a look at the point standings as they are right now. Tyler Reddick, your defending series champion, 23 over C. Bell. Cole Custer is third. Austin Cindric is fourth. And Justin Allgaier now moves into the top five position again. Ladies and gentlemen, next time you'll see the Xfinity Series in a few weeks, May 25th, the Dallas Coast 300 at Charlotte. And that is going to be the All Drivers broadcast from Fox Plus. Chad Knaus will be on that as well. This is one of my favorite, or this has been one of my favorite broadcast race or broadcast teams over the last several years since Fox introduced that. So really looking forward to seeing what they got up the sleeve. And last year they did Talladega. Is that correct, Big D? You're shaking your head. You're giving me a thumbs up back there. This time around, they're doing Charlotte. And I believe the year before that, they did Pocono, too, as well. So, three different racetracks right there for the boys. And I believe it's the same trio up in the booth. Blaney, like you said, in the Xfinity broadcast, is going to be doing pit road work right there. So, Xfinity is off for next couple of weeks right there. And obviously, All-Star Race weekend coming next week, so for the Cup guys anyway, so definitely last chance for those guys that have not won a race this year or from last year to punch a ticket, automatic ticket to the All-Star Race next week. But unfinished business though here though, Kansas Speedway going down Friday and Saturday. Cannot wait to get out there. And how many times have I mentioned that? The excitement level triples pretty much, and with the results, especially with the results yesterday of course, Martin Truex Jr. take home the gold Miles to Monster, celebrating the track, celebrating their 50th year in the sport there. So that was awesome. Hear that as well. Your top 10 finishers to finish up the Cup recap here, real quick. We already talked about the top three, we'll just go ahead and go down the line here. Big D, Kevin Harvick finished in the fourth spot. Chase Elliott, who led 145 laps. That was the most laps led in this race. Truex was second in that category with 132. Elliott faded late, and as he quoted, his bid for back-to-back wins comes up short. And as he quoted, Chase did yesterday, we were fast early, we were fast late, and we were not fast enough right there. Eric Jones, who started in the 15th spot, ended up finishing 6th. Joey Logano, who won stage 1. This was the game changer, in my opinion, of this entire race. Joey Logano, who Rusty Wallace said on the MRN broadcast, said he had a fast race car. Todd Gordon decided to get 2 tires, right? Logano wins stage 1. And we see this all the time in the Cup. Not just the Cup Series, but all 3 levels. Trucks, Xfinity, whatever you like to watch, the leader. Watch what the leader do, what the leader does, or don't do what the leader does. Pretty much most of everybody did not do what Joey Logano did yesterday. Go down pit road by yourself, even though William Byron did pit with him, but he was a sitting duck, and he probably had a fast car, but that changed the game for him there. Yes, he's still finishing the top 10 right there, but it could have been much bigger right there if he would have stayed out. Who knows? Maybe Logano might have finished top 5, and I don't know. Truex had an awesome car on the long run, and I don't know, but that just changed the game right there. Logano going to pit road there, and he had to fight hard finishing that 7th spot. William Byron, impressive run, finished 8th. He started on the front row with Chase Elliott right there, so Henrik Motorsports trying to do something here as we are about hit the summer months right here. Clint Bowyer, quiet ninth place finish, and we already well documented Kyle Busch's position in the 10th spot. That is your Gainer Out V400 lookout recap right there. We still have EG3 helmet stickers to pass out here on the 3Wide NASCAR podcast with EG3. And I just got done prior to that break right there. If you want to squish BD, squish the screen here real quick. Bob Levine right here. And one of the guys asked him, what is the main complaint, Bob? And Bob goes on and say, Christopher, NASCAR officials do not think it's appropriate that a team owner speak out criticizing their package on social media, so I'm not making any more comments about it. They may be right. So you should not say anything anyway. That just goes back to what I just said. Why are you saying anything anyway? You're not driving these race cars. You're watching Matt DeBenn. They don't drive your race car. You're not in here, and you might eat your own words on that one. You should not say anything anyway. So, yeah, keep your mouth shut, and we can all move on to to Kansas City this week. So, yeah, so pretty much, yeah, you answer your own question, Bob. So, yeah, we're all wondering, why are you speaking out on it? And that was my thoughts. Exactly. What do you have to say about it? You're not driving these race cars. I mean, us fans might have opinions about it. We don't drive the race cars, and neither should you. But again, if you say NASCAR or shouldn't be saying nothing, then you should not say nothing in the first place. So you follow the route, what NASCAR tell you, do what NASCAR tell you to do, and don't speak out about packages. So you made a big mistake right there. So I thought that was pretty hilarious right there. In the aspects right there. So that's going to put a book in to the Dover recap right there. Christopher Bell, Martin Truex Jr., Johnny Sauter bring home wins from the weekend at Dover. And now we're going to be turning full attention now to, if you want to now find the entry list, we're looking at it for the Truck Series race. And I mentioned already that there's no Kyle Busch, so thank you, Jesus, for that. So we ain't got to see that 51 car up in front. We get to see some action, what we saw last week. Of course, Johnny Sauter will go for back-to-back. And last time I watched the truck race in person, obviously I've been enough to these Kansas races, but I have not seen a truck race since Matt Crafton brought it home 3 or 4 years ago over a dominant Eric Jones. When I watched Eric Jones stump off, walked right by me, literally walked by me there. Matt Crafton taking a win there. That was 3 years ago. Now I was looking forward to this race, but work has other ideas there about the inventory process there. But I wasn't pretty much involved in that, so we'll see how it happens there. If I think I'm going to be out on schedule here, then I should be okay. But if not, we'll. The plan is, either way, ladies and gentlemen, for those of you who are wondering what I'm talking about, we live 2 hours away from the racetrack, from Kansas City. So, or really less than 2 hours, and pretty less than 2 hours, just a little bit less than 2 hours. But we live very close to the racetrack, so I will head up there Friday, soon as I get off work, to go to this truck race. Digital Ally doing a sponsoring this weekend. So a different sponsor. Last year it was Go Bowling. This time around it's Digital Ally, the 250, then Digital Ally 400 on Saturday night. Hopefully my other good buddy will be over there to be down at Pitts. Last year he was up there, yeah, last year, so he's very pumped up. I talked with him on after or before church started over the weekend, so he's planning on being out there as well. I plan to be out there with my boy out here. So definitely fun times to be going to the racetrack for sure. And due to the circumstances from yesterday, obviously, I already said it multiple times, looking anxious to see what Truex does. Obviously, he ain't going to be the only one out there. You got the Hendrick cars. Can they continue to turn the corner? And Alex Bowman, who is in this conversation, as far as odds is concerned, I'm going to get to that here in shortly. But we got to hand out some EG3 stick helmet stickers before I do that. Let's do that right now. Truck Series. Start there, as always. Looking for what I put down. Obviously, Johnny Sauter, EG3 helmet sticker. Then you got, I got Ben Rhodes, E-G-300 sticker, and why not, I gave mine to other one, to Derek Krause, up in the mix, battling in the top 10 throughout much, really, of the afternoon last week. E-G-300 sticker, we moving down the list now, slowly, to Crusher Bell, E-G-300 sticker, Austin Cindric, E-G-300 sticker, and I gave mine to Brandon Jones, E-G-300 sticker, and we got an auto mention from Big D. He gives his to Chase Briscoe. How about that? E-G-300 sticker finishing there in the top five. And of course, I cannot give E-G-300 sticker without giving it to Mark Trish Jr. Another one. Alex Bowman, Kyle Larson. Pretty much your top three from yesterday. E-G-300 stickers from Dover, Larson, MTJ, Bowman, Briscoe, Jones, Cindric, Seabell, Johnny Sauter, Ben Rhodes, Derek Krause, your EG300 stickers of the week. Thank you for tuning into the 3Y NASCAR podcast with EG3 in the building, 80 grid a third for you guys tonight. Thank you for tuning into this post-race reaction edition of Dover Style of the podcast. Now, back to what we're going to be looking forward to on Friday night, the Digital Ally 250. It's green flag will wave just after 7:30 local time. And for those of you living on the east side down here, let's switch our attention right here to the Gainer Outdoor Truck Series, the Digital Ally 250. Those of you living on the east coast, 8:30 Eastern time. Green flag here drops locally just a little bit after 7:30, so I'm probably still going to make it out here, make it out there to the race. Not here, out there to Kansas City for the race. So pumped up to see the trucks out there. And then the Monster Energy Cup boys do battle on the lights. And again, this package is going to be, will be a player in this as well. We'll see how that happens under the lights. We saw what it did on a short track, and now we go to a mile and a half track. We'll see what it does there. The Digital Ally 400, 7:30 Eastern time, 6:30 local time. So that's going to mean probably around a quarter till 7 green flag time here in Kent, or I should say there in Kansas City. I am so jacked up right now. It's not even funny. So that is your time right there. And obviously, I said it already, the Xfinity guys are off for a couple of weeks down here. Can Sheldon Creed rebound from a heartbreak? Getting such circumstances there. Tyler Ingram makes some more noise at Kansas. Brett Moffitt trying to get through victory lane. And on his injury list, he says no spots on here for whatever it is. And also, a couple ladies in this mix. I mentioned Natalie Decker early on tonight. She's back in the 54 EG33 alum. And we will see Angela Roush in the 44 on Friday night. She will be out there as well. And we'll keep an eye on Stuart Friesen as well and your normals as well. So definitely it is game time for sure. Your defending winner, obviously not in this race, that and the person of Noah Gregson. I mentioned Tyler Reddick earlier. He will be a part of that cut mix. The last time we saw Tyler Reddick in the mix, that was in the Daytona 500. So Reddick will drive the third entry for RCR down here. And other notables, there's not really, well, Jeb Burton in the 51. Well, and you have your normals there. So yeah, last year, I've mentioned last year a lot on the podcast, Kevin Harvick, they're rebounding, and obviously there's a wreck on turn number 4 right in front of us last year with Bob Byron. Clint Bowyer was involved in that. Matt Kenseth was very slow, and this was Matt Kenseth's first race in Ross Fenway Racing last year. That team was very, very slow out of the box, and there were like multiple laps down. I remember that thing happened right in front of me. I remember like it just happened. Bowyer, Newman, and a few others. I think Murray was in that. I'm not perfectly sure. I believe Murray was in that. But yeah, all I can think about, William Byron was on fire. Boyer was involved. Kevin Harvick escaped that. And escaped that en route to running down Martin Truex Jr. late in the race there. And it just left me laughing, standing, laughing my butt rear end off after the fact that I really thought Truex was going to steal one last year. Truex did not have a good race car last year in that. So, and yeah, MTJD, he didn't have two. And he finished both top 10 last year. I should know this. Yes, he did, come to think of it, because Truex in the fall, that team was off as well. So, I mean, this is one of his better racetracks, if not top three, in my opinion. Because every time, I've been pretty reluctant to see my favorite driver run up front, be up in contention, really going back to the year that he struggled at Virtual Racing, where he put that thing in the top five, or in the top 10, somewhere in there, before he went in that ridiculous tear there with Virtual Racing. And now this is his first time, so it's going to be weird. It's still weird to see him in that 19, but it's going to be really weird. I think it's going to hit me when I go down for P-Race and festivities down there when I go to the 19. But obviously, I do know this, though. He's in the auto owners, Toyota, so that's going to be fun. A familiar sponsor, so all eyes going to be, we'll see what he does there. Harvick, Larson, what can these guys do? And I mentioned odds earlier down here. We will get to that here in a minute. We got a few more minutes on tonight's post-race edition of Dover here. And this is the only show we're going to be doing this week, obviously, because I got a busy rest of the week here doing inventory. And then I'm immediately going out to the racetrack on Friday, whatever time that is, and hopefully enough time to get out there before the truck race hits the racetrack. Yeah, so Tyler Reddick was in this also, Big D. Yeah, we got to pull up right now. So, all right. So, Tyler Reddick, 100-1. William Byron, 80-1. Alex freaking Bowman, 61 odds. This is early odds in Kansas. And Bowman, as I mentioned a couple years ago, had a solid run when he was under the weather there. Daniel Suarez is 30-1. Jimmy Johnson, your three-time winner, 25-1 odds to win Saturday night. Eric Jones opens at 25-1 there. Kurt Busch, 21 odds there. And Denny Hamlin, a former Kansas winner himself a few years ago on Martin Truex Jr., that great battle there when Martin Truex Jr. was with MWR. 21 for Denny Hamlin. He tried to bounce back from an awful performance yesterday. Eric Almirola, his 20-1 odds there. Clint Bowyer, hometown boy. Bowyer, for whatever reason, though, this should be one of his better tracks, Bowyer. But for whatever reason, he struggles at this place. Can he get it turned around on Saturday night? Yes, he's coming off a top 10, but this is, when you think of it, this should be one of his better tracks. You're at home of the Kansas City Chiefs, Kansas City Royals, folks, and you're struggling. But he's a 16-1 odds right here. Larson, 10-1. Elliott, same, 10-1. Blaney, and I've been calling his name out the last few weeks, and for whatever reason, if that team can clean up the mistakes here, he's going to be a factor, just like he was last year, this race here. Fast, he gets around fast better, in my opinion, than his two teammates, Logano and Keselowski. This is as wide open as you're going to get. Blaney trying to get into victory lane on Saturday night. Can he do it at Kansas? We'll find it out for sure live. And this thing just went the other way. Kyle Busch, 7-2 odds. Keselowski, 7-1. Harvick, same thing, 7-1. Same thing with Logano, Truex. All those guys are 7-1 odds there. So, whew, things are going to get hot and heavy for sure. Under the lights, Saturday night at Kansas Speedway. Cannot wait to get out there and do and watch this race. So, looking forward to it for sure. And before we head off to the sunset tonight, K-State baseball, and I was going to talk about this earlier, but it just got lost in transit. But anyways, K-State baseball, been reading upon them, and me and my wife have not yet gone out and watched these guys play under new coach Pete Hughes. These guys sucked at the beginning of the year, and now they really turned things around. Big D, it's funny because I thought, well, this is going to be a hell of a long year for these guys here, but all of a sudden, you know, with solid pitching and things like that, these guys have not been good since really my tenure at K-State. They've been struggling for a while. They needed a new coach to turn things around, and Pete Hughes is doing just that. So, kudos, really, shout out to Pete Hughes and the whole coaching staff of getting that team right, and they're in position to make the Big 12 tournament here. And somebody said they're going to make the NCAA tournament. I'm like, are you serious? I don't know off the top of my head the record. I have not paid attention to that, obviously. But I just wanted to commend their efforts here, especially in the second half. They have been a much better team since the beginning of the year. So, really, K-State baseball trying to do some big things here late in the year. And also, folks, ladies and gentlemen, it's going to be a big week, not only for the rest of the week, but a big week next week. And why? Obviously, I'll do the post-race recap from Kansas, all what went down under the lights, the trucks and the Cup Series. But me, I will be on the Loose Lugs Podcast, the crossover part one, next week, the Loose Lugs Podcast. And make sure you go over there and listen to the latest episode, which I put down last week, folks. Definitely excited to be on with AJ and Ryan talking Kansas. It's going to be a good time. I'm definitely looking forward to that. And obviously, again, I'll remind you again, part two at the end of the month when AJ will be right on here talking all things big racing, Indy 500, Xfinity, Coke 600. Oh, my goodness. It's going to be something. We got things cooked up for the 3Wide NASCAR podcast. So, exciting month on this end of the camp in Manhattan, Kansas, and cannot wait again to get out there. Kevin Harvick, can he get on the board for the first time in 19? Larson also looking for that win. Can Blaney get it done? Can Truex continue to roll? Or will somebody else step up? Or will Kyle Busch step up and continue his unbelievable top 10 streak? He is yet, even with all the complaining about this package, folks, Kyle Busch has yet to finish outside the top 10 this season. And it's funny enough, will this be it, or will he continue that streak despite of what he said yesterday with this package? Big D, it's time to break it down, baby. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a wrap for the post-race edition podcast of Dover on the 3Wide NASCAR podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, it has been an exciting show here tonight. And I'm only going to be doing one, obviously. So this is it. And this will be uploaded tomorrow night. Is that correct? Yes, it is. At some point. So we're recording this on Tuesday, May 7th. Few days away from heading to Kansas City for the doubleheader weekend at Kansas Speedway. Oh, I'm so excited. Hope you guys are too for some prime time NASCAR racing. Cannot wait to get out there. Big D, thanks for what you do. As normal, we're going to get set up for this weekend. Can't wait to get out there. I'm your host, Eddie Greer, as usual. Ladies and gentlemen, we're about to go have some barbecue in KC. Oh, it's going to go down. Thank you for tuning in for the NASCAR 3Wide Podcast. And don't forget, crossover next week, Loose Lugs Pod 3Wide. It's about to go down. Thanks for listening to 3Wide NASCAR Podcast. Big D, EG3, we out.
Thanks for listening to the 3Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3. Make sure you're subscribed to the show wherever you get your podcasts. iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and more. We'll see you next time going 3Wide.